Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing recent advances in orthopaedics and hand surgery. My special guest is Dr. Matt White, an orthopaedic surgeon who specialises in hand and wrist surgery at Macquarie University Hospital, which sponsored this podcast. Dr. White, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks. Welcome. It's nice to be invited to partake in this. Happy to. Thank you.
Dr. White, let me start by asking you, what inspired you to pursue a career in hand surgery?
So I started training as an orthopaedic surgeon quite a few years ago. And prior to that, I'd been a physiotherapist and did a sports science degree prior to that as well. So I'd always headed down the musculoskeletal pathway. So orthopaedics was a destination I knew I was going to end up at. But the part of it I enjoyed most about hand surgery is two things, really. It's the variety of the work. So I do a lot of big bone work. So working on the upper limb, forearm and wrist, there's a lot of bone work that you can do, so fractures in particular and arthritic problems, but also there's a lot of microscopic work which you have to do, which is unique to hand surgery in the field of orthopedics. So plastic surgeons use microsurgery a lot in their field, but orthopedic surgeons very rarely accept hand surgeons. So it gives a nice variety of work, from big things to small things. And then the second thing was who you else you work with, really. So there's a nice gender balance in hand surgery. So there's a lot of female hand surgeons, more than there is orthopedic surgeons in general. And also you work a lot with hand therapists, of which there are more females than males. So in terms of my day-to-day practice, there's a nice gender balance, which I really enjoyed working with. Medicine in particular has been dominated by males for many, many years, and particularly surgery. So having a nice mix of not only genders but ethnicities, which certainly Australian hand surgery has, and ages as well, you know. So we've got young hand surgeons and very senior hand surgeons. And because hand surgery, a lot of it is sat down, you get a lot more senior surgeons still active, which is great. So they've got all that knowledge. So there's just a nice mix of across not only gender but age and ethnicity as well, which certainly adds to, you know, the population that we treat here, because here at Macquarie and in Sydney and in Australia is a very mixed balance of all of that. So it's good to have clinicians that reflect that too. One of the reasons why I like hand surgery is that we discuss lots of complex things like carpal dynamics and wrist deformity and forearm deformity, and the finger flexor extensor mechanisms, which can be really complicated. But at the same time, I treat some really simple things too. And I love that side of my work as well. There are some very common problems that patients struggle with on a daily basis that are easy to fix. And so part of my job as a hand surgeon is a lot of it is very straightforward and easy. Don't take that for granted, and actually really enjoy a simple problem to fix, gives good results and patients are happy. But at the same time, there's a challenging area to my field of work that really requires a lot of thought process and collaboration with colleagues in the field that have been there and done that in the past, and a lot of senior colleagues here, particularly at Macquarie. We've got a really nice unit that works in harmony, so we often discuss cases, things that you've seen and done in the past, and it's good.
And what kind of conditions do you treat at Macquarie University Hospital?
Yes, I treat a large variety of conditions here at Macquarie. So from more elective types of complications, so chronic disorders from wrist and hand arthritis, through to soft tissue disorders such as Dupuytren's disease. On the milder spectrum, the most common things I see are carpal tunnel and trigger digits. And then from a traumatic side, deal a lot with soft tissue injuries and sporting injuries to the wrist and carpus and fingers themselves. So there's a huge breadth in what I see on a day-to-day basis, which is, again, another reason why I like hand surgery so much.
And what advances have you seen in medical imaging and 3D printing for orthopaedics? And how does that impact diagnosis and treatment?
3D printing's really taking off in a big way in orthopaedic surgery. Planning for orthopaedic cases relied on 2D imaging, and that's changing as technology advances. So One of the big things we've got here at Macquarie University Hospital is the ability to CT scan and turn that into a 3D image. And there's a cone beam CMT that we use down at the imaging center, which is a very low dose form of radiation, almost close to a standard X-ray. So that's now given us easy access to 3D imaging, which is a very much a new modality. And then based on that, you then think, well, I can change deformities in many different ways, and 3D printing is one of the ways to plan for that and also execute it. So it's been around for quite a while, certainly in joint arthroplasty and knees, sort of last 10 or 15 years it's been around, but in its infancy. And as that's improved and taken off, it's spread to other areas of orthopedic surgery. So the way I most commonly use that type of process is in deformity correction planning. So if someone's had a fracture, say many years ago, and as a result of that fracture has then got a complication with a joint, stiffness or pain secondary to the deformity, those deformities can be quite complex. They're in a three-dimensional manner. So often just a plain X-ray doesn't either show you the deformity or doesn't show you how to correct it. So 3D planning is very useful to take the normal side, compare it to the abnormal side, and come up with a solution for the patient. You can use then 3D printing to design a model, and then you can test your correction on that model to see if it results in what the correction you intended to. You can then use that 3D process to create a plate or a set of screws that match the deformity that you're correcting. So a lot of the standard hardware that I would use doesn't work in deformity correction, and so 3D planning and then printing allows you to create custom plates. Obviously this comes at an expense, and it's not a cheap process to go through. It's not a common problem, deformity correction. However, as technology has advanced, certainly in the last 2 or 3 years, the 3D printing itself is getting cheaper and cheaper and more accessible, and therefore over the next 5 to 10 years, so will the technology that allows us to print plates that are specific to an individual rather than a set that you have on the shelf at the hospital. I mentioned before the cone beam CT, which is basically a CT scanner we have here at Macquarie University Hospital down at Macquarie Medical Imaging. And it's a method of planning a scan in a different way. So you get fine slices of the CT scan at a very low dose of radiation, and therefore it's more accessible to a lot more patients. The pediatric population, getting a CT in them 10 or 15 years ago was considered a bit of a no-no unless they had a problem big enough to warrant it. But nowadays it's a lot more safer to do that. So you're starting to get a collection of patients with problems that you maybe were more complex and hard to deal with, and you're actually seeing them in a different light now. So that's helped in terms of surgical planning. So a lot of patients come with those types of scans, which is really helpful. Gives you an idea of where the problem exactly is, which X-rays sometimes lacked in the past. So that's changed things a lot. We can access it right here in the hospital. So if I see a patient and I want it to be organized, it's usually available the same day. And if not the same day, within a day or two. So it's something that we can get fast as well, which is helpful in managing patients here. That's probably the biggest change in what I do pre-op, certainly from an imaging perspective.
And how do you balance the desire to innovate with the need to ensure patient safety and adhere to established best practice in hand surgery?
Yes, it's a good question, and using things like 3D printing is a really good example of that. So technology has allowed us to do a lot of things and think we can achieve a lot of things, and there's always a safety balance in that. There'll be a certain desire to push the envelope. So things that you thought weren't achievable in the past are definitely now achievable. But you need people to push that frontier. So there'll be a group of surgeons who are sat in the middle, very, very safe, doing the standard things that we've always done. There'll be some that lag behind that and don't educate themselves and start to drift away from the crowd. And there'll be surgeons at the forefront that are pushing the envelope. And it's difficult to know where to sit in that group. Do you want to be the guy at the front of the field that pushes things forward and develops new techniques? But in doing so, there's going to be things that don't work. And I think we kind of have to accept that. If you want medicine to advance, you have to accept that we'll trial things that won't work. Problems we couldn't fix in the past that now we can, and someone has to be the first person to try that. I think, you know, it's important that you're open and honest with patients that come with these difficult problems. I don't use 3D planning for a standard distal radius fracture. It's straightforward. I've been well trained over many years using two-dimensional imaging techniques. But if someone comes with a complex forearm or wrist deformity that maybe 10 or 15 years ago we said is not fixable, it now maybe is. And so just being open with patients that this is new technology that we're using, and therefore some of the things that may change as we go through might be a bit unknown, not only to the patient, but to myself and colleagues. That's probably the most important thing. I try to keep myself up to date with as much as I can. So I regularly attend conferences and part of groups that work with this type of technology to learn from one another. And that's also important not to hide yourself away and think you're at the forefront of this field, because anything that I think of or have thought of, certainly someone else somewhere in the world has already thought of and tried. So one of the advantages of technology these days is that I can be on a Zoom meeting with and a lot of other wrist surgeons around the world. In fact, there are groups that meet reasonably regularly, discussion groups, complex problems, put it on there and you get opinions from all around the world, and that wasn't available even 5 years ago. So things have really advanced in a rapid manner for the better, but I guess there's always that element of risk involved in that type of thing, and keeping yourself in check with all of that is very, very useful.
Dr. Matt White, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me. I've enjoyed the opportunity to tell you a little bit about myself and the field that I work in, and I hope that's of use to some people out there.
My special guest today has been Dr. Matt White, an orthopaedic surgeon who specialises in hand and wrist surgery at Macquarie University Hospital, which sponsored this podcast. You can find more podcasts from the Medical Journal of Australia on our website at mja.com.au, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.